sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 143. Weak in the beginning. Bye. You ain't never gonna see me again. If I can help it, little fellow, take it easy. Fresh out of forced tears and kissed hugs. Excuse me. Fresh out of forced tears, kisses, and hugs. You about to lose the company your misery loves. It never did nothing but try to kill your disease, at least help the symptoms. Instead, you infected me. I'm not the kind of man to draw a line in the sand. If you gotta draw at all, then it's time for you to scram. P.S. You can keep all this shit and hang around your broke friends and call yourself rich. The struggle I did with you was all for nothing. It was never enough for your heart to set on suffering. It was never your... I'll admit, I was weak in the beginning.
Message!
I wanted someone to need me instead of a friendship. I didn't think I deserved a true partner, so I transferred the arrangement I had with my mama. Bridge, since you never listened to the word I ever said, maybe seeing this door slam will get it through your head. I don't love you, I don't think I ever did, and if you hadn't tried to kill me, I would have stayed for the kids. Huh. There's nothing more for us to say. Got my mind made up and I'm walking away. Sometimes we just outgrow the roles that we play. Hope you find a happy ending to your story someday. Oh my God, yo, man. It's a.
Yay!
Well done. Wow. That was deep. That was profound, but we'll get to that. Hey, welcome, bienvenue, à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, and aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners, especially those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up or go through life feeling like they never fit in. And also grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is January 28th. 2024, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That is kind of a... Yeah, I mean, yeah. That is kind of a wild intro. you know, introduce people to your house and you're already saying fuck you too. But, you know, you know my motto. It's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. All right. Okay. How do we do this? How do we? Okay. All right. Hey, like always. Yes. So welcome you listeners, especially you new folks. Just to help you get situated or familiarize yourself with this with my show, I like to break it down into three parts or acts, if you will. The first act is the introduction. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the last act is final thoughts. Final thoughts usually relates to the title of the episode and the poetry that I recited at the beginning. In the introduction, I like to do shit like, well, like I already did, play the theme, say the title, recite some poetry, then, you know, help you, give you a heads up about the kind of podcast, about the kind of journey you're about to embark listening to this podcast. Another thing I like to do is start off with a quote, little quote. And today's quote goes like this. It says, "The peace I feel without your presence in my life is worth being the villain in your story." Wow. Shout out to Understanding the Narc. Oh, wow. Yeah, man. This is very powerful for anyone who grew up or was surrounded, by narcissistic parental figures. Or when I say parental figures, whether, you know, your parents, teachers, or whatever, anyone, you were a child, and anyone who was like in a position of authority. Me in my cases, I grew up in a church, and I nearly said there's a lot of narcissists in churches, but no, I'm just to be fair, in my church setting, in my church upbringing, there was a lot of narcissists, and that shit, that and the concept of God does not mix, did not mix. So it created confusion for me. It's the reason why I have a church traction this section on this podcast. Okay, that's it for the introduction. I actually got to rush today's. No, I'm not going to rush today's episode, but I got to say that I'm preparing for an interview. No, excuse me. I have a written interview to do, and I have to write up some answers. And yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for someone like me. It's they ask you a question, and I could picture what I want to say. It's converting that shit, converting that that image in my mind into words that another human being could understand. Well, I guess another English-speaking human being can understand. It's a challenge. It's not easy. Especially when you have complicated ideas like I do. But anyways, it's moments like these. I wish I was durable, but I just say that. But I don't actually mean it. But yeah, this show would be easier if I was one of those normal people who were able to, like, do the homework assignment. All right. Okay. All right. So let's jump to use a random thoughts and get the show going. All right. All right. Let's go. Hey, apparently I was looking at the numbers for this podcast. They're not high, but apparently some of you are actually listening. That's interesting. Now that I see people are listening, now phase two is to get y'all to start writing in, preferably with some feedback that I can work with. That's what I'm trying to say. I nearly said with something nice to say, but I'm going to go with feedback I could work with. And feedback I could work with does not include you criticizing for the sake of criticizing or not offering, yeah. Feedback that I could use. Pay attention to the theme song. All right, okay. Where were we? Yeah, okay. You know what is interesting is this next TikTok clip I'm about to play, when I initially saved it and decided to play it on the show, I remember thinking to myself how much I appreciate intelligent people. And when I say intelligent people, I'm going to say people who can make a point and influence or get me to consider their point. Basically, change the way I think about something. Influence my thoughts in a way, right? Now, I say this, if I'm laughing, it's because the last portion, the last part of the the last segment in Using Random Thought, I'm actually going to talk shit about smart people. So I'm starting with a praise, and then I'm going to end with a slight critique or a complaint. All right. Okay. So for this one here, it's content creator. Her name is, let me see, can I see it? Eleanor Stem. I should, okay, if I can find a TikTok, the actual TikTok clip, I'll send it. But I'm sending the, what I found on Reddit. This, I discovered this on Reddit, right? And she addresses, she speaks about this notion that Barbie got snubbed at the awards. So from what I understand, at the award show, Barbie, I think, was nominated, but didn't win any award. But the dude who played Kent, was it Roslin or Goslin? I forget the white boy's name. The dude who played Kent, he got an award for playing Barbie. And a lot of people took it as, well, that's fucked up. How you gonna give a man, how you gonna disrespect the movie Barbie by giving the man an award and not the lead character? Margot Robbie. I'm bad with Hollywood names. Yeah, how are you not gonna give the lady who played the lead role the award? I mean, it did, without even giving it any thought, it did make sense hearing that. But then I like what this woman, her take on the notion that Barbie got snubbed. So here we go.
I guess my thoughts about this are that Barbie didn't get snubbed because, first, like, it got nominated for a ton of things, including Best Picture. And second, it's, like, fine if you think that Margot Robbie should have been nominated because she, like, did a great job. But, like, it's weird to act like it's a loss for feminism that Ryan Gosling got nominated instead of her, because
Ryan Gosling,
the category is Best Actress. Like, she was only up against other women. It's a category of women. All that happened is that a different woman got nominated instead of Margot Robbie. So, like, it just seems very clearly like it's not about that. I mean, also, to be a little less flippant, I think it's interesting and telling that people are acting like none of these other Best Actress nominations are, like, a win for women, in the sense that, like, right, the category is crowded with women who played these, like, interesting, complex roles in interesting, complex, high-quality movies. Like, Anatomy of a Fall or like Killers of the Flower Moon, and yet people are acting as if those things, like, don't count or aren't about feminism. I think part of that is because Barbie, which, like, I liked, I thought it was a fun movie, but Barbie, like, infantilized us all a little by, like, having someone literally just get in front of the camera and be like, this is about feminism and this is about being a woman. And maybe people think that if a movie doesn't do that, it can't be about women in, like, a real sense. Right. And also, frankly, I think there's a really pervasive idea right now that feminism is, like, about celebrating girliness. And that, like, you know, we started off, I think, sort of in, like, 2014. It was a very popular idea on, like, Tumblr to be like, there's nothing wrong with being girly. There's nothing wrong with the color pink. There's nothing wrong with, like, preferring pop music to sports. Like, there's nothing inherently better about frivolous masculinity instead of frivolous feminine. But now I think a lot of people have fallen into this idea that, like, the most feminist thing is essentially being young and hot and hyper-feminine. Right. And that if a movie is challenging and is about women being complex and, like, being real, like, again, like Anatomy of a Fall, like Killers of the Flower Moon, as opposed to women being, like, young and hot and wearing pink and having fun, like, complicatedness to a lot of people, I think, is, like, anti-feminist or anti-woman, which obviously seems to just be buying into the idea that, like, it's women's jobs to be frivolous. It's a woman's job to be, like, conventionally attractive and blonde and skinny instead of being, like, a real interesting, complicated person living in a complicated world. In other words, I think a lot of people think fundamentally that it's anti-feminist to make a movie that's complicated and difficult because women aren't smart enough to get it. Women only get wear pink, wear dress, drive convertible, be hot, play with doll. Like, I love lots of, like, you know, traditionally feminine things, and I thought the Barbie movie was really fun. But can we stop acting like it's anti-feminist to make complicated art?
Ooh, that might have blasted your ears. Sorry, the levels were high while she was speaking, and then forgot that last was gonna blast your ears. But yeah, that's not the point. All right, okay. I really appreciate this take. I agree with it. So my thoughts is, I think, and this is going back to the notion of Barbie getting snubbed at the award show. I think it was kind of easy for someone like Ryan Gosling to win an award, to win that award compared to, because the lady who played Barbie, she was competing against other women in great movies, but Ryan Gosling's role, and I guess it's the movie that made him. I think the movie was original, and him playing his role, I could say, well, okay, I don't know shit about award shows. My point is, I'm saying that I don't, congratulations to Ryan Gosling for winning your award, but I'm saying it's like, how the fuck do you not win an award in a unique movie such as Barbie? How do you not win an award as a male playing a lead character as a male in Barbie? That's, I feel like, I forget the name of the actor I make myself laugh. My thoughts make my own self laugh. Black Panther, the white guy who played, what was his name again? You gonna make me look it up? You guys are gonna make me look it up. Okay, you know what? I'm not gonna waste my time. But I'm thinking about the in Black Panther, part of what made revolutionary is how the white guy knew his place. Not just knew his place, but that scene where he goes to speak to M'Baku on behalf of the ladies and say, yo, man, you need to take this shit seriously. And M'Baku barks at him with his people. And it was a way to remind you that, hey, dog, you're a fucking visitor. Meaning, usually the white people in every movie plays, they're always the hero. They're always the main character. Even when they're not supposed to, even when they're fucking Tarzan in the jungle, they're the main character. And I think it was revolutionary. Like, he should have gotten an award for being a white man and not throwing around his white man card, because it's not easy to be a white man and not shut the fuck up. You should get an award for that. For not doing white people shit. Anyway, no, okay, joking aside, no, I really appreciated that take. I'm hearing her speak reminded me of when I read Bell Hooks, Feminism is for Everyone. Make sure I get the title right. Is it Feminism is for Everyone? Feminism is for Everybody. And it's kind of like, because it ironed out some of the wrinkles I've had about feminism. Some of the misunderstanding or some of the, what I thought was feminism. It's like, oh shit, okay, no, this is what it actually is. So what I appreciate about that take, it was just like, it was insightful and it just cleared up some way of thinking. Like, I can't wait to hear someone else. Okay, I'm trying to see if I could articulate her point without the clip. Like, I'm trying to imagine myself being in a conversation with people and someone brings up, oh, isn't it bullshit that so a man won an award for Barbie? And I'm like, I don't know. I think my response would be like, come on, it was kind of fucking easy for him. It must have been hard for him as a white man to not be the lead role. What do you mean I'm number two in this movie? You know, they gave him an award for that, for being able to accept the fact that you're not the lead character in this movie. You're the supporting actor. But I'm a man. Do you not see the skin? Yeah. Anyways. Yes, his performance was good and all that shit. But, you know, I should point out that I'm not into award shows. And this is not about votings and things like that. It's more about exactly what she said, the concept of Barbie being snubbed at the award show. And I don't think it was a case of, I don't think they dissed the movie Barbie by giving Kent and the dude, Ryan Gosling, in the world. That's what I'm trying to say. All right. Okay. Speaking of the man fucking with us, this next one is a think piece on The Roots about the, by Dustin J. Siebert. And it's about, how to read the title? It goes, Fannie Willis can't make mistakes as a professional black woman, but Trump should be president. It's interesting. I read the article and I'm trying to summarize it. This is one of those, you know what? I'm going to speak to you like you already read the article or you know what was talked about. But so apparently there's some controversy around Fannie Willis. Here goes. I'll read just the first paragraph. She goes, she made headline last August as the architect of the indictment of former President Donald Trump and his 18 cronies who allegedly worked to illegally overturn the 2020 presidential election. Willis is basically responsible for history's first mugshot of the former president. These days, however, Willis is under scrutiny that threatens to unseat all her work. Earlier this month, Michael Roman, one of the indicted, filed a motion to dismiss the case based on the alleged romantic relationship between Willis and Nathan Wade, the lead counsel for the case. So, the point is this. First of all, to add to the news, so I saw a headline about how Trump lost in a court case where he's got to pay some lady $83.3 million. $1 million. I don't know what that is with inflation, but I know that shit's a lot of fucking money in my world. Right, he's got to pay E. Jean Carroll, yeah, for defamation, right? Some a woman that he sexually harassed in a mall, and when she accused him about it, then he did true Donald Trump shit. Yo, bitch is lying. She just wants this, you know, just basically embarrassed her, humiliated her, all this, and this woman took it to court. And was awarded $83.3 million, right? Now, what does that have to do with Fannie Willis? It's more the fact that I lost track of how many fucking court cases Donald Trump is going through, right? There's an article I didn't get a chance to read on The Atlantic, and it's called The Case. It's titled The Cases Against Cases, plural for him. Against Donald Trump, a guide. There's several lawsuits against this fucking guy, Donald Trump. Right? This dude is in court. This dude's been accused of sexual harassment. This dude is getting sued for defamation. This dude is on record. There's a clip of him talking about how he grabs him by the pussy or saying locker room talk. Saying some foul shit. That's my point. Some unprofessional. Look, saying some shit that if I set up my work, I'd get fired or I'd get disciplinary actions against me. He's done all kinds of things, all kinds of lying, man. The dude inspired an insurrection. All right? And yet, he's the front runner. This dude is a serious candidate for the president of the United States. Like, there's a concern that this motherfucker might actually be president might win the next election. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm like, fuck it. It's the United States. At this point, I'm looking at Donald Trump is like reckoning. I see Donald Trump. Look, the world is going south anyways. Donald Trump being president would just be the fucking icing on the cake. At this point, I'm indifferent because there's too many people talking shit about, I'm not voting for the Democrats. Democrats ain't doing it. I'm not voting for Biden. Biden ain't doing shit. Hasn't done shit for us. I'm like, you do realize who the other guy is running, right? You do realize it gets worse under him. So I'm saying all this shit about Donald Trump. And all his all the shit he's able to get away with. And this poor woman might get kicked off this case. Might get kicked off this, one of the many cases against Donald Trump because of an alleged fling. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not clear on the details, but apparently she was dating some dude. And I guess there was some kind of conflict of, I'm not sure what it is, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how fucking, she dated some dude. How bad could that be? And, but my point is I think the real idea, what I'm trying to get at, is the fact that her crime is not being perfect. Like, she's not getting a pass. Look, I'm not saying, I'm not asking for black folks to get a pass when we fuck up, when we make mistakes. I'm saying, look, make the rules fair. Either we get a pass like white people, or white people get punished the same way we get punished. That's really what I'm trying to get at. There's this new, shout out my homegirl. She was trying to warn me about, stop paying attention to all these anti-diversity and inclusion. I won't say her name, Rachel. Yeah, my homegirl Rachel. She was saying, stop giving props, stop giving attention to these motherfuckers on social media talking that anti-diversity and inclusion shit. And to me, and she's right. She's right what she said. Like, fuck it, man. I forget the name of this one. There's this one pundit, conservative, right-wing pundit who's on the air talking shit about, yeah, man, this diversity and inclusion shit's going to get us all killed. We're getting, whatever. And, I don't give a fuck about him talking. I don't give a fuck about a white man using his platform to say some racist shit. Because it is what it is. What I do care is his audience consists a lot. The majority of his audience consists of a lot of, like, cowardly white people. And he's their voice. Cowardly white people who might be your coworker. And they might be in a position of power. You know, like, maybe white people gonna be racist. Racist gonna be racist. Right? I can't help that shit. But the two things that bother me. One, bothers me is them speaking against, whether it's a coworker or someone on the air, speaking against diversity and inclusion like it's a problem. I mean, sure, it's a problem for someone who benefits from racism. I get that. But it bothers me that they can speak against diversity and inclusion and get away with saying, I'm not being racist. It's like, look, throw the stone, show your fucking hands. Own up to it. I know I can't control that, but I'm confessing that it's just, it bothers me. It is. It is what it is. maybe it's I could take it up with my therapist. Nah, fuck it. I'm not making an apology for it, man. It is what it is. It fucking bothers me. Maybe one day it won't, but it bothers me right now as you hear the sound of my voice. Actually, this is not live, so who knows? Maybe you'll hear this and I will have gotten over it, but now it just fucking bothers me. Two, what gets me about these shit-talking crackers is how they can speak against diversity and inclusion and vote for Trump. And ignore all the shit. Look, man, it's like the shit Donald Trump gets away with. And he's still... Some of you might not be old enough to remember that. Okay, I'm trying to start. When Obama was running for president. And that tightrope these white folks had him walk on. I remember when he first announced, I didn't think he was going to make it. I honestly didn't. Nah, I'm like, fuck it. Barack Hussein Obama? Yo, we just had beef with a dude named, I forgot his name. They killed him. Saddam Hussein. Barack Hussein Obama? Are you kidding me? I'm trying to remember at what point did I start to believe. But I do remember, like, yeah, this nigga is not going to win. He was, like, I remember him making progress, and then the birth certificate argument came out. Oh, he wasn't really born in there. And these white folks had me considering, oh, man, is he really lying about his birth certificate? I mean, what the fuck, man? Okay, look. Going back to the think piece, and I'm just going back to reiterate the point made in this think piece. Or this opinion piece. And that is, yeah, as black people, this whole notion of you gotta be work twice as hard as a white man just to get half of the results, half of the shit that they get. This poor woman has to be perfect. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't know how. Maybe her, I don't know. Like, I don't know the story. Like, maybe her ambition made her believe that, whatever. If the news gets out about this. Like, I'm not even sure if she did something wrong. I'm not clear on she dated some dude. Like, I'm really not clear what she did wrong. All I know, it's enough for Trump's team to be like, yeah, she's got to get dismissed. I have this interview I got to do. I mentioned, right? I got this written interview. Yeah, I got a written interview I have to do, right? The way it works, yeah, I read the questions and I have to submit it in writing. And my colleague, my manager, offered to help me out. And I didn't say no. I ended up saying no. What he did is, hey, if you need any help, holler at me. So I didn't reach out to the dude for help. First of all, if I do need help, there's other people I could talk to about this kind of stuff. And two, I really, 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 really don't want to risk being in a situation where they said that, see, black guy, got some help. You know what I mean? You're a diversity hire. Like, I get this job and someone comes back and, look, I can't control some motherfucker calling me a diversity hire, but what I can control is the fact that I can tell myself that I fucking fought for this shit. I played by the fucking rules. And the thing is, yeah. Well, you know, the more I think about it, whether you're black or even if you're a white person, in the end, you'll never know why you got that job. There's a possibility as a white person, you got that job because, hey, we wanted a white dude. Fuck that. You think we're going to let these monkeys in this organization? Fuck that. I want a clear-cut Christian. I'm atheist. Good enough. Clear-cut white Christian working in our organization. You'll never know any. I mean, sure, maybe you'll find out that you work for a racist organization. But the truth is, there's a chance a lot of these white dudes tell themselves that they got their job fair and square. They worked their ass off. And, you know, and while being oblivious on how much race played a factor in there. So I'm thinking about the fact that the job that I'm applying for, I know I deserve it. It's the first time in my life where I know I deserve it. The confidence is in there. Like, if I don't get it, it's either I fucked up during the interview process, there's a typo, I didn't properly explain it, but I can look at this role and be like, no, I could do it. I can do it. So it's either I fuck up or they fuck up. Either they don't see it or they don't, whatever, right? But my point is, I'm grateful for the opportunity. I think the one thing I can credit diversity and inclusion is that it forced these white people to be like, hey, we don't trust you to play fair. So we're going to force you to look at this pile of black people. Sure, you got four jobs, give three to white people, but that fourth one, we're going to force you to look at this pile of resume of black people, brown people, of these non-white folks and pick one. And if you can't pick one, then go to the white people pack. But for now, we're forcing you to look at this pile. And that's all it is. I'm grateful for the crumbs. I'm grateful that someone said, yo, we need these numbers to go up. Let's see if we can get another Obama to work in this shit. Okay, all I'm saying is, I can't control the fact that some cracker is going to call me a diversity hire. But what I can control is that I am not a Trump. I am not Donald Trump. That I don't have a whole bunch of cases like me. I can't get away with the shit that Trump. The only thing I can do is have my own sense of integrity. And if these white people want to challenge it, that's their business. I mean, they're gonna call me nigger regardless. Don't get me wrong. I'm playing by the rules, but I'm not a sucker. You know. Look, man. This whole. All this to say, going back to what my homegirl Rachel was saying about, you know, not letting this thing get to me. This is, it is. I'm just, this whole how white people weaponize the term, oh, he's a diversity hire. And in other words, he's not qualified for this job. They just hired this person because they needed a black face in the front desk. And Trudeau's too busy being a prime minister. Sorry, I was trying to make a black face Trudeau joke. But yeah, they needed a black face. They needed a woman up there. They didn't care about skills. They just wanted, yeah, it angers me, man. It, who knows? Maybe speaking about it long enough, I'll go away. But yeah, it. Something, you see, what I'm saying is I understand that I'm allowing something outside of my control to piss me off. But it is what it is. I'm not that mature. Yeah. What time is it? I don't know about it. All right, okay. Yeah, I spoken it off. Let's, what else should be president? Oh, okay. I got to make a confession to you all. Not that it matters, but I have a section on this podcast. This is for new listeners, right? Called Church Ratchetness. Now, if you're a new listener and also a member of the Black Guy Who Tips community, you're probably telling yourself that, wait a minute, Church Ratchetness? Aren't you stealing from the Black Guys Who Tip Sword Ratchetness? Aren't you stealing their concept? And to that, my response, my same response that I always gave is, no, I am not stealing from them, right? They have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. Sword ratchetness about sword. I talk shit about the church with church ratchetness. Okay, they're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. So please, let's not start a fight where a fight doesn't need to happen. All right? Let's not start any beef. All right? Okay, calm the fuck down. Yeah, church ratchetness is a segment that I, on this podcast, that I have occasionally, and it's where I talk shit about the church. I express my feelings about the church. Now, I should probably mention that I'm also a son of a pastor, son of a preacher, man. I'm a preacher's kid, and then that's how we preacher's kids do. Some of us preacher's kids have babies out of wedlock. Me, I get on a podcast to talk shit about the church. Anyways, so despite the fact that I talk shit about the church, I'm an ex-Christian, despite all that shit, here's the confession. I still listen to gospel and worship music. I still do. Sure, I probably block out every references to Jesus. I probably might sing the lyrics, but I don't believe in the lyrics. But I still love... I still love how... Hold on a second. I forgot to turn off the air purifier. I don't know if you heard that in the background, but I just noticed it was still on. Anyway, yeah. I still love how gospel music and worship music, the healing properties of that music, it's still... It may not inspire me religiously. Yeah, religiously. But it still speaks to my... spiritual side, it's the I like if I'm going for a bad day, the gospel still like brings me up. I felt like sharing this with you before you heard it from someone else. Now, do I see it as a contradiction? Nah, not at all. Actually, even more, do I care whether anyone sees it as a contradiction? Not really. Maybe it's I may not be religious anymore. I may have given up on Christianity, but I've still held on to certain ideas like treat others like you want to be treated, shit like that. You know what I mean? And it's my way of saying, even though I'm an ex-Christian, there are still elements from my past that I held on to. See, what I like about the ex-Christian label, it's because calling me atheist wasn't accurate. It's not accurate. Like, there's still an important part that I remember that Christianity has had on my upbringing. It's kind of like the same thing as French-Canadian culture. Yes, French-Canadian culture. I may not, like, wave the, what's that flag? That green-white flag, the Franco-Ontarian flag. I may not do that. But I still live. I still like... What's that word? I still In a way, hold it down for French Canadian culture, because I was raised in that shit. Like the French Canadian culture, some of them were my teachers, pastors. Some of them were, I was part of that community. Some of them are friends, actually still friends till this day. It's still within me. Just like Christianity, there's a bit of Christianity within me. Like, I can't deny the fact that there's been an influence on me. I felt the need, I don't know, I found myself just, because I listened to a lot of, I've been listening to a lot of gospel and worship music, and it hit me, and because I guess I was just talking, I was probably on a message board saying, yeah, fuck Jesus, fuck the church, and blah, 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 and while Kirk Franklin was playing in the background. So I just thought, felt the need to make this confession, rather you hear it from me before you hear it from someone else. On that notion, I discovered this new podcast. Maybe I should credit. Okay, this is funny how I discovered this podcast. Just for a quick, indulge me. Is Black Fat Fam is on the iHeart Network. And iHeart Work. The one thing I don't like about podcasts on iHeart Network is like fucking commercials upon commercial. No, it's not the commercial. It's more repetitive commercials. It's fucking annoying. I'm like, switch it up, people. Anyway, whatever. I like the fact that, whatever. Read over. But I will credit that one of the commercials that I did pay attention to, and it's about this new it's about this podcast called False Prophet Hillsong. And I listened to the first episode, and my God. Mike, I'll tell you what, let me play the trailer. Just a second. No, I'm not going to play the trailer.
Hillsong is a major dumpster fire.
This is a story.
All right, yeah. That's all you need to hear. Yeah, because pay me, goddammit, if you want me to play this commercial. But this podcast talks about the Hillsong, which I didn't know up until this point was, I thought they were just a band, praise and worship band, right? That sings Jesus music. And it turns out they're actually a church in Australia, right? And that was one of the commercials that I heard off iHeartRadio. So I discovered this podcast, and episode one, and I'm like, what the fuck? Holy shit. I didn't know. Okay, look. I thought I was acidic. I thought I've heard it all about churches. But this Hillsong Church, they're shitty people, man. They're as bad as Trump. There's a lot of accusations, sexual harassment, some foul shit. A lot of foul shit has happened. Yo, there's so much foul shit happening that even I'm like, yo, it's not, can't be true. Even I'm in disbelief. Even I'm accusing, who's the host? I wonder if it's a black woman. I think it's a black woman. Yeah, whatever, right? And I'm like, yo, lady, you're lying to me, man. I feel like she has me feeling like Neo discovering the Matrix. Let me out! It can't be true! What do you mean I'm just a battery? don't get me wrong. It's not that she's a lie. It's not that she's lying. It's more the fact that it's just disbelief. I Googled it, and yeah, man, there's a big-ass entry in the Hillsong Wikipedia. Wikipedia entry, there's a section about controversy and all the foul shit that has happened. And it just gets me that on one end, because Hillsong makes some great music. Hillsong makes the kind of music that I wouldn't tell other people I listen to. Like, I probably haven't played it in my car, and if I'm giving someone a ride, skip. Oh, how did this shit get on my playlist? But they got some good, my point is they have some good songs. Like Reach Your Soul type of song. And it kills me. I'm like, how can it, wow. It's like, I was going to say rose that grew through the concrete. No, it's like a rose. The rose in this case is like the music Hillsong makes. And it's not concrete. It's a fucking pile of shit. The pile of shit is the church. I guess that's Christianity when you think about it, because I do know for some people, for the people who are still Christian, they're holding on to that flower and ignoring the stench of dog shit and human feces that this flower is growing out of. Like, they're holding on to, like, the good parts. And I can't. For me, because I used to do that. I used to, you know, hang on to my Christian religion. And I speak about the fact that the first slave ship was Jesus Christ, or all the atrocity committed under his name, and he doesn't do shit about it. Anyway, I'm just saying, I only listened to the first episode. I'm looking forward to the rest of the episode, but it's wild how, I'm thinking of R. Kelly. It made me think of R. Kelly. R. Kelly made some good music. He did. He made some great music. And then later you find out that, oh, this guy was a fucking monster. Abused all these little girls, these underage girls. I think for me, what really made him a monster is how he targeted black women, black girls. Fully knowing. Well, I'm assuming he was conscious of the fact that no one's going to give a fuck about these victims. I got carte blanche to do this shit. Like, I don't know if there was any strategy involved, but it still makes him a shitty human being. But it's more good music, shitty person, shitty artist, shitty human being. I mean, you know, it might be fun if I imagine I'm thinking about doing the kind of work that made people want to love me and ignore my shortcomings. That's why I wanted to be a musician back in the days. I wanted to be a rapper. And then they won't think about the fact that I sleep with, I have sleep apnea. You know, I'm bad example. But I'm just saying, I'm making sense of this thing we call reality and how good things come from bad people. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. And that's why I get high. That's why I enjoy getting high. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So that's the podcast. Okay. Last but not least on the news and random thoughts is, so yesterday I had the pleasure of watching the movie American Fiction. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I really, I can't explain it. I went in, because the thing, what gets me is that I rarely go to see movies in theaters unless there's going to be some sci-fi. It's rare, like a movie of the genre of American Fiction, which is, I think it's comedy drama, that I would see it in theaters. But what I like about seeing this movie in theaters, besides the popcorn and the comfortable seats, and how I made it a night, just something to do in the evening, it's one of the rare times where I'm forced to not look at my phone. Like, it's dark and I gotta focus. And I forced myself to focus on the big screen. Like, I had a strong urge while I was watching to Google something. But, anyway, whatever. I enjoyed my time. I don't know. Would I give it either 7.5 or an 8? It was a good movie. I enjoyed myself watching it. I feel like I connected with some of the characters and some of the storyline. But my favorite part in that movie was watching Jeffrey Wright and Joelle, what's his name? What's their name again? Man, I had their names. Let me make sure I get their, there's two American Fiction cast. Jeffrey Wright, who plays the main character, and Monkey. Yeah, his name's Monk. And John Ortiz. These two characters, if you Google them, right? I've seen these two play gangsters. They've been in gangster flick, and they played convincing gangsters. And to watch them in American Fiction play, because there's a scene where they pretend, like, they're like, yo, John Ortiz's character is trying to tell Jeffrey Riff, yo, play up the gangster shit. What's funny is how awkward they are playing a role of a character that you would never imagine in a gangster movie. It was the equivalent of watching not De Niro, what's his name again? Robert Downey Jr. play an Australian playing a black guy. It was for the first time I understood Robert Downey Jr.'s character in Tropic Thunder, I think it's called. It's like, no. I'm not doing this blackface just to play a black guy. I'm playing an Australian who's playing a black guy. There are layers to this shit. And anyway, so yeah. So watching these two, yeah, these, it's like, he's, because they're both educated men, professionals, and they're trying to dumb it down for their audience. And yeah, so John Ortiz's character plays a publisher, and the, and you know, Jeffrey Wright is the writer. And what he does is basically he writes, he dumbs it down. He dumbs his book down just like just for the fun of it. It's the equivalent, if you've seen Family Guy, it's the equivalent of Brian's book. Was it Read It, Write It, Do It? Some shit like, I forget what it was called. But there's in Family Guy, there's a episode where Brian writes a book and he dumbs it down, and he does it as a joke, and it becomes a bestseller. So Jeffrey Wright's character does the same thing, and it was meant as a joke, and it becomes a bestseller. But okay, what I really love about the movie, I think that's what it is, man. And what I really love about the movie is, if I watch a movie and you get me thinking, if you make me laugh and have me thinking, I'm giving you an award. I'm giving you flowers. Even though everyone else probably says the movie didn't like. It was a clever movie. It was a, I won't say brilliant, because I don't feel like a brilliant person, but I would say it was clever. Smart people made that movie, or were involved in the writing. Enjoyed the movie. I say all this. This was a perfect setup to say that. So then I go on the internet, and of course, I went on Reddit, and some people liked it, and some people didn't like it. Now, the people who didn't like it used a lot of big words to explain why they didn't like it. And I guess I'm easily influenced. It's like I'm trying to, it was difficult for me to be like, it's my opinion. You know, me liking it is my opinion. Them not liking it is their opinion. Or them expressing criticism is their opinion. But it was hard for my brain to not be like, okay, because they say it sucked, you have to believe it sucked. You know, okay, I think they were just being observant, and they were just being honest about their observation. That's really what's going on. Like, I don't think it was as simple as, no, I didn't like the movie. But the criticism they were expressing, I didn't understand it. Like I said, a lot of big words. And I'm not sure, like, I would have to sit with these people and be like, what the fuck did you mean? But all this to say that I hate when smart people talk shit about a movie. Go back to what I was saying. And I hate when someone writes a big think piece. It's not the fact that they wrote the think piece. It's the fact that my dumbass read the think piece. And then it has me, like, insecure about the fact that I like the movie. Yeah, this is my, yeah, fuck you smart people. Yeah, no, because it's not the fact that they're smart. It's more that people who are articulate. Very, you know, I, one of the reasons, okay, shout out to black podcasters, articulate black podcasters, and one in particular, Rod from The Black Guy Who Tips. He is a very articulate person. And when I say that, what I mean is he can express an opinion, and bro, it's like the Jedi mind trick. And then all of a sudden, I'm adopting his opinion. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, fucking whatever. Yeah, it's not just Rob, but there's a lot of like, okay, like that content creator I play, which is a white woman, but you know, I grew up with where being articulate, smart was never associated with being black, and then the podcast world is just showing that. No, okay, look, there's a lot of them out there. But I love when someone is able to express an opinion, and like, it's near Jedi mind trick that are like, well, you know what? That's some solid points that you made. What I don't like is when you make an opinion. Okay, and yeah, and this is why you shouldn't like rap music. Yeah, go fuck yourself. I'm stubborn about that shit. Suck my dick. Yeah, I guess as long as you're not disrespectful. There's been time where I think the Rods of the world, the Rods of the world, have expressed an opinion, and I can respect that, that I disagree with. But they were so well-versed, they did it so well that I'm like, fuck, I gotta consider that shit. And it's a challenge to balance both both thoughts. Okay, like, because the reality is, two things can be true. But it can't, every once in a while, it can be a challenging incorporating this well-articulated argument and incorporating it with your own. And it's very, very easy to just dismiss it as, man, fuck you, smart niggas. I'm thinking of that scene in the Boondocks. Man, get that carrot out of my face. Sometimes I feel like there's a scene in the Boondocks, the Free R. Kelly one there, the R. Kelly episode. And the defender of R. Kelly's, they're really dumb. It's maybe that's my problem. I don't see myself as a smart person. I do smart things every once in a while, but I don't, would not. Then again, how do I perceive, what is a smart person? Is it just someone who spends their time calling other people stupid, making other people feel stupid? You know, that's another other story. Yeah, okay, maybe I don't have beef with smart people. But it just did bother me that I come out the theater enjoying this movie and then reading these comments. And most of them, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they're saying, but it's pissing me off. All right, I'm just going to end it with, yo, I enjoyed American film. Oh, and the last point that I will make about American film that had me in, another reason why this, okay, there's many reasons why it had me engaged, but this is not a review of the movie, right? But the one thing that kept me engaged is how much it made me think about hip-hop. And, Lupe Fiasco has a song about that, Dumb It Down. How the shit that gets promoted, that gets marketed, that gets put out there is the shit that makes black people, that reduces black people's humanity to, like, thugs. To, like, look, I love Benny the Butcher, Pusha T. Like, okay, if you're gonna rap about drugs or the streets, you better be fucking good at it. Not mediocre. Yeah, I dismiss mediocre street rap. Fuck that, man. Because I've heard it all already. I've heard it so many. If you're gonna talk about selling drugs and all that shit, you better be fucking, I mean, like, so that's why I like Benny the Butcher. When I first heard Benny the Butcher, I was like, yo, man, he ain't saying anything different. Then when I re-listened to him, I'm like, yo, this dude's good. The Black Soprano Family. Yeah, the Pusha T's of the world. Like, your shit better be fucking clever. I'm talking like Eminem. Whoa, okay, take it easy. I'm talking about, it better be like Fannie Wilson good. Without the allegations against her. Like, you better be fucking excellent. Or else I ain't trying to hear that shit. Or the beat better be fucking dope. Anyway, yeah. The last reason I enjoyed American Fiction was just had me thinking about hip-hop and how disappointed I am in the art form. But whatever. That's another conversation that I could have later. All right. We are at the 1 hour mark. Okay. All right. Let's just jump to, this is it. Let's jump to final thoughts and end today's show. Concludes today's show, all right? Okay. Let's go! Finally. Oh, man. Okay, what's up with today's title? Today's title was a challenge. First, I'm going to start with spoiler alert for Succession. Season 4, episode, I believe, 8. And, I'm going to give you time to click off. I'm going to count to 5, all right? Yeah, and a spoiler alert for in case you haven't seen Succession, plan on watching or in the process of watching it. But, yeah, so and maybe I should have warned you at the beginning of the episode, but fuck it, whatever, right? So, spoiler alert. I'm going to address something that happens in season 4. Oh, my God. Episode 8. Hold on, I have it in front of me, so let me just confirm that this is the right. Yes, it is. No, season 4, episode 8. And it's that scene where, are you ready to go? Y'all ready to go? I'm warning you, man. I don't want to hear no bullshit about how you ruined it for me. All right, okay, you got time. Right, it's that scene where Shiv tells Tom she's pregnant. And, yeah, today's thoughts was inspired by this. I'm reminding myself what I'm saying. And up until the point where Shiv, one of the characters on the show, tells the other character that she's pregnant and it's his baby, up until the point, I was loving this scene where Tom is like indifferent. It's like that scene where you are, that point in a relationship. Look at here, guys. I can't tell you about falling in love and being in an 11 relationship, but what I can speak about, what I am an expert on, or what I do have an experience on, and remember, on this podcast, I only preach the shit that I practice. I only talk about the shit that I know. What I can tell you is, I know that moment where you go from being in a relationship, being all into someone, and then that moment where you realize that, yo, this shit's not going to work. There is going to be no happily ever after. There is no, we're not going to create any better memories. It's only downhill from here. It's they're not into me or I'm not into them. It's that realization where that moment where that captivity, that love had you in, you're free from it. They don't have the same effect on you that they used to. I'm not talking about when you hate your ex. I'm talking about when you're fucking indifferent. It's like, look, bitch, because I'm a heterosexual, so, you know, you don't have to go home, but you need to get the fuck out of here. It's like, it's like that quote that I read at the beginning, the peace I feel. Basically, I'd rather this peace. This piece is so good that I don't care that I'm the villain in your story anymore. Where you're just indifferent to that. Like before, you do everything from them. Like that moment where the other person has taken so much that you can't give anymore. Now, I've been told that apparently that's how women think. I'm not offended by it. Well, not now. I used to be, but apparently I'm. Some people have said this is what. Oh, you're like them chicks, in a sense that yes, when I get to that point in a relationship where I've given it my all and I don't feel I could do any more, then I go numb. So, watching that interaction between Tom and Shiv, and watching Tom just being indifferent, it's like, yeah. So, what do you want? And it's not that his, okay, maybe his, okay, the way I perceive the scene is, it's not that he was trying to be cruel or mean to them. It was just more like, look, we've had our final fight. I've said what needed to be said. I'm realizing that, yo, this relationship was a mistake. Love don't live here no more. I'm realizing that I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at myself for making a bad judgment call. Again, the intention is not to be cruel. It's just the effects of love are gone. That right there is my favorite moment in a relationship. That moment where you don't care. You're not being cruel. Sorry, my phone is acting up for some reason. Yeah, you're not trying to be cruel. You're not trying to be, you just stop caring about the other. You're indifferent to the other person. It's like, wow, you're moving out of town. That's great. You don't love me anymore. Oh, that's cool. Whatever. You found someone else. Eh, whatever. You know, peace to you. I'm going left. You go right. It's kind of like Beyonce's to the left, to the left. I mean, maybe there's the disappointment. I guess when you're at the point where you're like, you're past hating your ex. You're more doing some self-work. You're at the phase where you're doing some self-work, where you're dealing with yourself. Like, they are no longer a factor. You're now like that one and two. That's my favorite part of the relationship. And yeah, I guess that's what I'm admitting is that I've been exposed to a lot of toxic relationship. The kind where I call it the first one to fall in love loses. The kind where someone will take advantage of the fact that you love them. Or you can't be without them. or you have this notion that, and they'll take advantage of it. Like, I didn't know, I was never taught that. If you're in a relationship with someone and one person admits they love you and you don't feel the same way, the responsible thing to do is break it off. Because if they love you, then you have, it's a weapon. You have all the, you have a power over them. They'll take a bullet for you. I think it's unfair. I agree with the idea. It's unfair. It's cruel. It's mean to take advantage of a person when they're that vulnerable. Yeah, the kind thing to do would be like, hey, to be honest about your feeling, look, I don't feel the same way. I can't reciprocate those feelings. We gotta leave. And if they tell we gotta leave, you know, don't. I know people, well, I mean, I've grown up with, I've been that person where, no, I'll make it work. You don't have to love me back. I'll make it work. Yeah, no, you're doing yourself a disservice. First one to fall in love loses. I'm going with my point. Oh, right. Okay, now I'm going to play this last clip, and it's called The Situationship. I got this from TikTok, and it reminded me of, it's like my, I feel, is it because it's Valentine's Day? It's coming up. But yeah, I'm shitting on relation. No, it's because of conversations I'm having with my therapist. And it just bringing up all these negative feelings I have about the concept of love and relationships. And I love this one. It's called About Situationship. Shout out to the content creator, Momo. That's his name. Alo Ramo. Anyway, I'm going to play it. And it's probably better if you can see it. But it's you're going to see a dialogue between a man and a woman. And I'll just play it. Here we go.
I like you.
I like you too.
How much?
This much?
Oh.
Why?
I like you this much.
There's an imbalance.
What do you see when you see me?
A relationship.
Oh.
What do you see?
Fun dates?
Yeah, no, I'm cool with that.
Are you?
Not really, but I'll pretend.
But you're gonna develop feelings that aren't substantiated by anything tangible.
I'll just keep hoping you'll change your mind.
Fully knowing that I won't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's delusional.
Yes.
You're gonna get hurt.
I'm aware.
Why would you put yourself through that?
Well, I'd rather have some of you than none.
I feel like I should end this before it gets to that point.
Why?
Well, the longer we see each other, the harder the blow will be on you.
So end it.
I won't.
Why?
Because I'm getting everything I want at your expense. You end it.
I won't.
Why?
Because I lack the self-respect to walk away.
What's another situation, Chip?
Maybe we should look for people that actually want the same thing we do.
We probably should, but...
And it ends there. Probably should, but yeah. Situationship. Oh, this clip had me combined with that scene from Succession between Tom and Shiv. It made me think about, again, exposed to toxic relationship, the dark side of love. It made me think of how the relationship I was exposed to was everything but a relationship. It was like some kind of crutch. It was everything but love. Or one person is just trying to avoid being loneliness. It's just trying to avoid loneliness. One person just needs the other person to like avoid thinking about themselves. Like they get in a relationship trying to fix the other person, but it's just their way so they don't have to work on their own doing any self-work. Like it was everything but what Hollywood told me about. Yo, I actually got beef with R&B music and rom-com movies because I grew up on that. See this one. See, my parents had no way of knowing coming to this country that I was going to need, or maybe they did, but whatever, slipped their mind that I was going to need guidance on this shit. No, I think they dismissed it as, yeah, no. Do like we did, repress it until you became an adult, but I had no guidance when it came to these things, feelings, emotional. So I turned to TV and R&B music to learn about love. And I got to tell you, out of all the beef I have with R&B music, is the realization that there is no such thing as someone that you'll never get over. Or if there is, it wasn't in my, none of the, none of the women I dated were ever women that I would never get over. Like, you know that song where they're talking about, yo, if you leave me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't live without you. All that shit. I remember believing in that kind of bullshit. And, yeah, and it kind of made my life a bit more difficult than it needed. Now, granted, I can't blame the R&B artists because they were expressing their art. They weren't trying to guide me. They weren't trying when they made their songs, they didn't know that I'd be like taking notes of, okay, I guess that's what life is. But I got it wrong. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I just got it wrong. Yeah, I remember holding on to a relationship, a toxic relationship that I should have let go. Oh, it's like the dude said, lacked the self-respect. Didn't have the self-respect to let go. But in my mind, it's like, well, I don't want to be the R&B artist singing about, oh, shit, I should have done more. I'm worried. I was worried about being the guy who regrets not doing enough. And not realizing it's only idea that I did too much. This is, I want to be clear, you know, because I could tell it's easy for someone to misunderstand. This is not an attack on the people that I've dated. This is more an attack on the concept that I thought was love and relationships. The miseducation of be black, so to speak. Anyways, yeah, that's it. I think we're not going to say more. But again, I got a interview to get ready and whatnot. But yeah, boys and girls, this concludes today's episode. Like always, I'm going to recommend that you check out the other links section in the show notes. Go to the website, you'll find the show notes. And what is it? A bunch of things that just to make you, you know, first link is just the interesting about Brian Gumbel and Katie Couric. Making sense of the internet. This is a clip from 1994. Parenting done right. It just reminded me that a child like me needed patience. I think patience is something we take for granted. Not that genocide. This little girl who misspoke about. You know what? It's funny if you just click on it. You know what? The links in the other link section are meant to be entertaining. Oh yeah. Okay. So. This ends. I did have a thought, but I'm gonna explain it later. Okay, so this concludes today's episode. Like always, if you want to holler at me, like I said, I noticed people are listening to these podcasts, but it's interesting. Some feedback would be appreciated. I think that's my next step in this podcast. I've been releasing episodes consistently, regularly. Now I need to try to turn this into a community, trying to increase the feedback. Okay, maybe not a community, but get some. I'm putting shit out in the universe. I'm like, okay, come on, universe. What's up? Say something. Now, I won't lie. At the beginning, I was avoiding getting feedback. But now I'm like, yeah, now I want to hear your thoughts. You know? So, I'm a person who needs patience. And I express thoughts. Like, I remember I was talking to a friend. And as I'm speaking, I'm realizing that the image is in my mind, and I have this habit of believing that I've set all the setup, all the required setup, so they see what I see. I have a habit of speaking and forgetting that, oh shit, I forgot to give a proper description, give some context to what the fuck I'm saying. I have a bad habit of assuming people understand what the fuck I'm talking about. All this to say that I'd be grateful for some feedback. So with that said, you can find me on these Twitter streets using the handle @BBlizzard or @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, and that's the part that I just remembered, it's @B.Black or, this is your account, shout out to my therapist for encouraging the idea, @ShutUpPodcast.com. Literally, that's the name, @ShutUpPodcast.com. Instagram, it's interesting. On Instagram and Threads, it's just @ShutUpPodcast. The website, because that's my stomping ground on the internet and the real place where you can find me or the ideal place to communicate with me is go to the website, ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? I said ShutUpPodcast.com. One more time because my hearing aid wasn't on. I said ShutUpPodcast.com. Email address is ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on the website or go to Google, Apple, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, except Spotify. Well, I feel like I'm missing something. No, that's it. I'm going to thank you for listening. If you want to be kind, wish me good luck on this resume. But I think I got this. I got this. It's either, I believe it's one of those do your best and let the universe do the rest. That's how I'm feeling. Yeah, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.